Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning as we gather around the Word of God. We give you honor and praise. We give you glory. We thank you. And we declare that the entrance of your Word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Receive that light even today. Cause it to shine in our hearts. Give us revelation and understanding of what the Lord is saying to the church even at this time. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So I've touched on this topic, but because of a question and a request, I wanted to go a little bit more into it, but from two different angles at least. And this topic is about God's foreknowledge and our faith. Well, there's a story in between those two. And I want to tell you the path or the journey that that story might take. And so we'll be talking about this in from two different perspectives. First of all, from God's perspective and from our perspective, and also perhaps two different views, of what this, message might mean. And as you hear the topic or as you see the topic, something that might come to mind right away. Hopefully we will all be on the same page by the time we finish these lessons. It may take more than a day, because I want to take my time and go into it. But let's get started. Foreknowledge is an attribute of God. By divine foreknowledge, we understand many things from the Lord. It's His foreknowledge, but sometimes He shares some things with us. From that perspective, when God says something, we know, especially if He says something that's future, particularly if it's a personal promise of something that will happen for us or to us, then because we know that, He knows everything, that should give us confidence. A dictionary defines foreknowledge as an awareness of something before it happens or even exists. Isn't that beautiful? I like the exists part of it. Before it even exists, foreknowledge. Now, only God has that kind of knowledge of something that doesn't even exist. With the advancement of technology today, science can predict certain things that, they expect to happen, based on certain conditions. For example, the way that weather forecasts are made, you take a look at, say, 100 samples, 100 days, different times, and certain conditions, this amount of humidity, that amount of sunshine, the way the cloud is, blah, blah, blah. They put all together all the scenarios. And, well, in 100 cases where all these conditions exist, the same conditions, same amount of humidity, same temperature, same kind of cloud cover, same this, same that. All those things, it takes 100 days that had those same characteristics. Out of those 100 days, it rained 87 times, say. Well, then science can predict the next time a day comes along that has those same characteristics as we've seen in that sampling, that there will be an 87% chance of rain, because that's rained 87 out of 100 times where these conditions were the same. That's a science prediction. It's called 87 chance of rain. It's 7% chance of rain. If you ever hear what, you know, that, well, that's kind of what it means. Statistically, we can use some models to predict various things. Even in wellness, science can predict in wellness. They can say, well, this medication or this procedure or whatever has a 95% chance of success. Why? Because, well, you know, they've looked at, you know, 100 samples, say, and, you know, people who had the same conditions, about the same age, this and that and so forth. And, you know, out of those that were treated who had those same conditions, you know, had the same kind of scenarios, well, the thing worked 95 times. Maybe it didn't work 5 times. So they say, well, this thing has a 95% success rate. And it has also a 95% chance of success. You know, and there's still a little chance that it may not work, because 5 times out of the 100 that they looked at, it didn't work. So a 95% chance of success means, well, there's a 5% chance of failure. You know, and this is science and, you know, modeling and different things. And we do that in our days with technology and, you know, statistical modeling and different things. Now, God, on the other hand, because he knows everything before it happens and knows everything that doesn't even exist, and let's just think of that. It doesn't exist. It hasn't happened yet, but he knows it all already, and he never forgets anything. See, that's a great, I mean, you know, if you have that kind of understanding, you know, then you can see where, how God can just say a thing and it's guaranteed, because he knows exactly how it happened. It's already played out before him. I mean, even human beings, you know, sometimes we say some people have a perfect recall, you know, they have a photographic memory, so to speak. When they see something, they can never forget it. They can tell you. They can read a book that's, 300 pages or more long. And, you know, they can tell you to tell them any part of that book, you know, and that's really a great one. You know, you start to read the page, they can finish it for you. Because they've read it once and it's in their brain and they can recall it and they can never forget it. Well, some of us who don't have perfect recall, you know, we need to see something many times over before, or hear it many times over before it sticks like that. But even those who don't have that, you know, kind of memory, well, if you see it long enough or hear it long enough, you might actually remember it. And, you know, you might even remember it word for word. Take, for instance, your favorite movie. You've watched it, say, 15, 20 times. You've watched it so many times. You know, from play to play, from scene to scene, you know what's going to happen. You know the next thing they're going to say, the next thing that they're going to do. Because you've watched it so many times, you can almost recite everything. Now, your friend comes to watch the movie with you for the first time. You know everything. You can actually, quote unquote, predict or foretell. You know, when a scene happens, you can say, such and such is going to say this, such and such is going to do that. And you can say it. You know, because you've already seen it many times and you now know exactly what it is. It's the same as somebody who has perfect recall. They only need to see it once, but because they don't forget, it's the same thing. They can just remember it the whole time. Now, you think of that and you escalate it to God's level. You know, you're talking about tens of thousands of times of magnitude of knowledge. You know, I mean, it's infinite knowledge. He knows everything that there is to know, and even anything that there isn't to know, he knows it as well. And God cannot learn any new thing. I mean, he already knows it all. That's why, you know, I often say that God doesn't start anything until first he has finished that thing. Because, you know, you can think of something in the future. God's already there. It's already past to him. And he doesn't forget it. So he can say it exactly as it's going to turn out. You know, that's why the prophetic gift doesn't make predictions. You know, prediction is human being. We can make prediction up and down. But when the prophetic gift is operating, can bring it out. It's a portion, it's a slice of God's foreknowledge, especially when you're declaring the future in the prophetic. You know, it's a slice of God's knowledge that you can share, but he can give it to you. Now, of course, remember that inspiration is divine. The inspiration of the prophetic knowledge, prophetic to us, it's not prophetic to God. It's nothing prophetic to God. It's already passed, but prophetic to us. But the inspiration is divine, but the communication is human. So God may reveal the same thing to two people, and that inspiration from the Lord is divine, but the way they communicate it may be different due to language, due to grammar, finesse in speaking, the ability to articulate better than the other, and so on and so forth. But for God, he's perfect in all those attributes. So when he says it, it is the way it is. In the book of, you know, Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, we read this about God. Now, consider what this means. Whatsoever the Lord doeth, said, I know that. You know, this is Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Now, consider these two verses. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it so that men should fear before him. Now, consider the next verse. And this is from God's perspective. Now, there's a human realm understanding or, you know, of this verse. But in the divine perspective, if you say that which has been is now, and that which is yet to be hath already been, and God required that which is past. You can see that he put God in the mix. So from God's perspective, that which has been, which is in the past, is present with him. So it's not like it's past and he forgot. Well, from God's perspective, you know, that which which is to be has already been. You know, from God's perspective, the future is past. The past is present. The future is past. And it can bring even the past to now. I mean, you know, it's all same dimension to him. So when we say, you know, so there's a basis for saying, you know, God doesn't start anything until he has first finished it, because he says it right here. You know, said, what is yet to be has already been. Now, from our perspective, it's yet to be. But from the Lord's perspective, it has already been. You know, that is why God can put things in place to handle situations that have not yet even been. Praise the Lord. That's right. That's why it was necessary for God to have a son that would die for our sins before there was even anybody that would sin about anything. Before the world was even made. Before there was any disobedience of any kind, you know, God could make provision ahead of time for it in the Lamb of God that would be slain before the world began. For what? It hasn't even happened. There was even nobody there. But that's how God operates. You know, that's the, in the dimension of salvation and his eternal plans. But you can break it down to the little dimensions as well. The same thing. And God says what's going to happen. It's because he already knows. And he can tell it to you exactly. See? So when the prophet is speaking in the name of the Lord, I mean, and they're speaking by the Lord, not just presumptuously. When they're speaking in the name of the Lord, by the Lord, according to the word of the Lord, they can say it the way the Lord showed it to them. And it will come to pass. You know, now, timing can be something else. So the Lord said, well, you know, either ask my word, let him speak my word faithfully. If you have a dream, tell a dream. If you have a vision, tell a vision, or whatever. You know, but unless the Lord gives you a time to it, there's no need to try to put a time to it. You just say it the way he said it. Now, if he does put a time to it, though, like after the manner of life, you shall have a son. Once he puts a time to it, then that means exactly. It means, well, after the manner of life, you know, 9 months, generally speaking, well, it means in 9 months, she's going to have a son because he put time to it, you know, and that's the way it's going to be. If he doesn't put time to it, but he says it, well, it'll still come to pass. We just don't know when. Now, which brings me to something else. Now that we know that God foresees everything and he knows everything about everything, and when he tells us something that we don't understand and we can't even see, well, we got to remember God has foreknowledge of all things. Now, there are two things that are working in God's favor, if you want to put it that way. Let me use a man's language. God doesn't need anything to work in his favor. He controls everything. But let me just use that language. There are two things. Number one, he knows everything. We've already explained that. Number two, he has the capacity to make it happen. In other words, if God says this thing is going to be because he already saw it, and if for by peradventure something tried to derail that thing, God has the capacity to make it to come to pass. It's called providence. He has that capacity. He can make it happen. That's why the scripture says that it might be fulfilled. Now, God already saw something and probably already said it. And so in order for it to come to pass or be fulfilled, then he makes things happen. So those are things from God's perspective. He has the advantage. Once he says it, he will. That's why he can also say, my word shall not return unto me void. Once I've said it, it's going to do the thing that I said it's going to do. And it will accomplish that which I please. And so, from God's perspective, once he says it, it's settled. Now, if he didn't say it, which means it's in his mind still, we don't know it. So, well, your guess is as good as mine. You know, if, you know, whether it will be or it won't be. You know, that's why we often say, who is he that saith and it comes to pass when God has not said it or commanded it? According to Lamentation 3 and 37, a verse which you are by now very familiar with because we refer to it all the time. You know, so if God hasn't said it, well, maybe it will happen. Maybe not. We don't know. But if he has said it, you know, then that's a different thing. So shall my word be. He said, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and doesn't return there. You know, as certainly as that happens, you know, well, according to Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, so shall my word be, comes out of my mouth. You know, will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it, and he will accomplish that which I please, because he already has seen every scenario. You know, now, I've also a few times talked about the mastery that comes into play when you look at two great chess players, or at least one of them being a great chess player. I mean, the way that they can calculate and compute and figure out their opponent's moves way in advance. You can look at that chessboard, look at where everything is at the moment, and calculate every move and counter move that they need to make. And that if you make this move, they'll make this move. If they make this move and you make this move, then they know the next move that they need to make. They can compute all those things. I mean, they have this genius of a mind. Well, I think of it this way. There are two people that are playing this chess game of eternity. God is on one side. A devil is on the other. Praise the Lord. The chess game may be God's eternal plans or his specific plans for your life. Maybe. Now, on the one hand, one of them is a super ultra mind. I mean, is a cosmic mind of the Lord. He knows everything that there is to know. He knows every move that the devil is going to ever make. He knows it all. There's no way, there's no angle that the devil's going to come that he doesn't already know. Now, on the other hand, the devil, like most, you know, regular chess players, you got to wait for your opponent to make a move. Then you think for a long time on what you are going to do, you know, because you can't anticipate like they can. You know, so the regular chess players, they have to think long, you know, on how they are going to try to outsmart that move that you just made. Yeah. Now, the great minds, they don't need to think too much. They've already calculated everything. And, from God's perspective, though, God doesn't even need to calculate anything. He already knows every complicated move, the outcome of a thousand or million moves. He knows it all. And he knows how it's going to end. And he knows the one move that he can make that his opponent cannot make any other move. Now, when your opponent's queen is in jeopardy of being captured in a game of chess, you know, it's check. And when you're told check, you see that, the queen, which is the most prized possession that you must protect, is about to be captured, then you've got to make some move to either defend or get the queen out of danger. Now, so that's a check situation. Now, a checkmate, on the other hand, is when your queen is in a check situation and every move that you can make out of that check situation to get your queen out of there, to protect your queen or whatever, places you in yet another check situation. In other words, there is no move that you can make that does not place you in another check situation. Then that's checkmate. It's game over. Now, so God can make one move right out of the beginning of the game and checkmate the devil straight out from the beginning if he wants to. The devil, on the other hand, he has got to wait for God to make a move. Then he tries to foul it up. That's how he does. So sometimes when God reveals something to you and the devil wasn't listening, you keep your mouth shut. Because when the devil knows about it, now he's going to try to foul it up. That's what he does. He has no originality in himself. But when he hears something, he gets an inkling or he gets an idea of what God is trying to do, or he sees what God is trying to do, then he tries to mess it up. When God had brought together families, you know, the devil tried to break them apart. When God is doing something good in your life, the devil tries to spoil it. When God has given you a promise, the devil tries to hinder it in so many ways. Now, God, on the other hand, though, he already seen outcome of everything. You know, when you, there are some books that you can pick up to read that have many books, have the outcome, the end of the story at the end of the book. Sometimes some of them will put an epilogue, a chapter in there. That's the last chapter that describes, you know, brings everything together. Or it might just be one short summary at the back of the book, how the book turned out. In the story, you know, a book may be 60 pages long. They can encapsulate it in one paragraph and give you the ending of the book. So, in my younger days, when I used to read a lot, I was an avid reader, read all kinds of things. I don't do that anymore. I just, you know, but back then, when I picked up a new book, I read those novels, those fiction things. I like that. It was challenged my mind. You know, I would try to read the end of the book first before I actually read the book to see how it all ended. I try to imagine it in my head. Well, you can pick up the Bible, say, and fast forward to the end of the book to see how it all ends. Now, you can pick up the beginning of the book, which is Genesis, and see what God was trying to show. What are the things in God's mind? Well, you know, well, let us make man and let them do this and this. Now, you can see that. Then you can fast forward to the end of the book and see how does it all end. Praise the Lord. Now, from Genesis to Revelation, let's call that point A to point B. God might tell you or show us in the book of Revelation, you know, how all these things come together. You know, some of it that we read in the book of Revelation, you know, some of it have come to pass somewhere in the process, but there are some things that have not come to pass. There are still some things that's futuristic in the book of Revelation. But God can describe it, I mean, in detail of what's going to happen. Because he's already foreseen it. And he can tell it to his servants. He can give it to an angel to reveal it to John. He can tell it to Daniel. He can tell it to other prophets. I mean, whatever. He can reveal it, you know. And then they can put it down. And that's what's going to happen. We know that the devil is going to end up in the lake of fire. We already know that. It's at the end of the book. When the devil is bugging you about something, you can tell him his future. When he's trying to tell you about your past, you can tell him where he's going and end up in that lake of fire. He can't, there's no escape. Can't do it. It's already said. You know, so, and then you can see all the other good things, kingdoms of this world, how they will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, Revelation 11 and 15, when the seventh angel sounded, and you know it, you know, voices and everything proclaiming that Christ is now taking over everything, which is the way he wanted it from the beginning anyway. Adam was supposed to do that. Couldn't do it. Christ would do it. You know, so fast forward, read the end of the book and see what it's going to be. And that can give us courage. Now, that's one perspective of this lesson. That God already knows the future, and when he tells it to you, well, you can rest assured. There's no need for you to say, well, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? God already said it's going to be. because he knows and he has seen it. I mean, God can inspire a prophet to say by this time tomorrow. I mean, there's, shortage, famine in the land. Your enemies cut off supplies for months. And there's nothing coming and going in and out of the city. So prices went through the roof. And everybody is doing all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, women, I mean, for years now, it's not even months. You know, nobody has something to eat. I mean, the devil is telling them, kill your son, eat your son. I mean, crazy stuff. I mean, the world at that time had gone crazy. Well, the world has gone crazy now, too. A prophet now stands up and says, well, thus saith the Lord. By this time tomorrow, you know, things will be so much in surplus, you know, that they will almost be giving it away. Now, this is a situation where people are almost killing their sons to eat them. It's actually happening. This is, you know, nobody has anything, no supply. Everything is gone. Now, you come out and you tell us that by this time tomorrow, things will be so cheap. I mean, so cheap that you almost give it away. Well, when you look from man's perspective, you know, you can read that story in 2 Kings chapter 7. When you read from man's perspective, somebody might say, well, come on now. Even if the Lord were to open the windows in heaven. Have you ever seen the windows of heaven open? I mean, how can somebody even say that? Of course, if the Lord did open the windows of heaven, it will flood things. It will become like a flood. But in his mind, the man, you know, chief of staff, is thinking that this is so outlandish, it cannot happen anyway. Well, that's what he thought. But the word of the Lord, which Elisha spoke, because God showed it to him the way it will be, it's coded though. See, that's the thing with the prophecy. It's coded. You know, God doesn't always tell you every little thing and give you the exact picture, but it's coded. But he will tell you the outcome. So the outcome was that, well, things will be so cheap, everything, you know. God didn't tell them how that outcome will be, just said it. Okay. Now, once it's been said, well, it's left to providence to bring it to pass. And God already has the capacity. There is nothing that is strong enough to make him not to be able to do it. And we make promises. You know, I'll be at your party tomorrow. What? Then all of a sudden, something happens. You can't go. I'll take you to the ball game, your son or whatever. Then all of a sudden, your car breaks down. You couldn't go. And all these things. You know, we think we're going to do something, but we can't do it because we have limited capacity. And we didn't know that this thing or that thing that's going to come up or happen is going to make us or prevent us from being able to do the thing we thought we're going to do. Well, that's not the case with God. God has the capacity to shut down everything that will try to conflict with what he said in order to make sure that what he said comes to pass. That's providence. So, from our perspective then, when God says the word, we should recognize that it's going to come to pass. That's God's foreknowledge. He has said it. Once you understand this lesson, you know, once God has said it, then you don't need to worry about how it's going to come to pass. It will come to pass. But God had already said, because he has already seen it. He knew it already happened. That's why he said it. Praise the Lord. Now, God, like I said, doesn't tell us everything. This is the other perspective of the story or this lesson that I want to bring up. A 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. The pieces are scattered everywhere. There is a picture that God gives, and you got to build that picture with all those pieces. Now, here's the thing though. For the puzzle of life, so to speak, you know, God doesn't put that picture in our hands because we can't handle it. So he knows the picture. He gives you some pieces though. And for the puzzle of his eternal purpose. Now that's an eternal purpose. God's eternal purpose, and it's also an eternal puzzle. He's never going to entrust it to human beings whose minds are so frail. That's in the mind of the Holy Spirit. But with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he can reveal some things, but each one of us only has certain pieces. We don't have all the pieces, but God has the full picture. But he will show you, and then we begin to see with the gifts of the Spirit how things fit together, and you can begin to put those pieces of the puzzle together. But only God has the final picture. Well, think of life as a book that has many chapters, right? There's a chapter at the end that you can read to see how it all turns out. But when you try to flip through the chapters of the book, they appear to be blank. But there's one chapter at the end that has something in it. But you try to cheat a little bit and try to see how chapter 5, chapter 7 happens. It's not. There's nothing there because you are still in chapter 1. But the end of the book has something. But yet, you don't see chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, and so on. But you see something is written. And this is a parable that the Lord showed me about life. You know, now, when you get to each chapter, all of a sudden, you know, you see something is showing up on those pages. It seemed like it was blank before. Now, everything that's on those pages, which you can't see, God already saw. You can't see it because you don't have his foreknowledge. But he already seen everything that's on that page, on those pages. And it's almost like, you know, God hands you the book and say, fill in the blanks. Fill in the blanks comes from things like this. You know, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe, and you shall have them. As long as you don't doubt the thing you say, but when you say it, you believe it in your heart and it will come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Or ask me anything in my name and I will do it. Now, those are the filling the blanks. Now, there are some blanks that you still cannot fill in because those are positioned by providence. He leaves enough blanks there for you to fill in. But God already knows what you are going to put there. God already knows whether you're going to put anything there or not. He knows everything. You know, so he said, well, he hands you the book. And God wants to see what you're going to write in it. Well, you know, this is where the lesson of faith versus foreknowledge comes in. The foreknowledge of God knows all those pages, all those chapters that are still blank, he's seen it all. According to Isaiah 46 and 10. You see, God declares the end from the beginning. He's already seen it all. Well, I don't know what he knows. But one thing I have, you see, here's something. You know, this may sound a bit, you know, I don't know how it will sound to you. You know, one thing we have, which God doesn't have or need, is faith. See, God doesn't need any faith. Let me just put it to you like that. Because, I mean, he knows everything. He can do everything. He can make everything come to pass. You know, it's not faith to him. It's God. It's done already. Now, if I have that kind of capacity, well, I probably wouldn't need any faith either. Because I already know it's going to be. But I don't have that capacity. And I don't know. What I do know, though, is that God knows. See? So what God has in foreknowledge, I can get by faith. That's it. You know, so my faith in God, who already knows how it's going to play out, and he can direct me, can get me there. I'm in point A, God's already in point B. I need to get from A to B, and God told me point B, but I'm in point A. I don't know what's in between. And most of the time, God will not tell you what's in between. He may tell you some of it, but he never will tell you all of it, because your mind can't handle it. But he tells you point B. Now, but you are in point A. So this is the second perspective and aspect of this lesson. And here's a perfect example of that. You know, the story of, there are many stories in the Bible. I'm going to tell you some of them, right? David was one of them. Joseph is one of them. I'll tell you some of these stories. I'll go deeper in detail, but let me just summarize something. Let's take example of Joseph, for instance. Or even you can go back as earlier as Abraham. I mean, there are many people whose stories we can use to explain this lesson. You can take Abraham. You can take Joseph. You can take David. And these are key people in God's story. Put it that way. And the generations of Jesus, how that all these people, you know, featured in unto Jesus, these are people are important. You can read that in Matthew chapter 1. Now, in the case of Abraham, let's look at what God said. God said to him, "You will be a father of nations," when he had no children. God even said to him, at some point in time, I mean, this is thousands of years, you know, or could be, let's just say hundreds of years. At some point in time, after you do have the children and your children are growing and all this, you know, stuff and so forth, they're going to, something's going to happen to them. They're going to go down to a place and they're going to be tormented and they'll be there for 400 years. And afterwards, I will bring them out. And so on, and I will judge that nation that tormented them. And God can say all these things when nothing has even happened. He said, and he did say it. And that's God's foreknowledge. Now, if you are Abraham, what can you do when you are believing God to have children and you don't have any, but God said you're going to have multitude? You can struggle with that, like most of us do, or you can walk in faith. Now, if you understand the capacity of God to sustain his foreknowledge, then it can help your faith. Now, this lesson can make you a master of the subject of faith, if you understand it. Because now you know that it is settled. If God already said it, because he wouldn't say it unless he saw it. And if he saw it, then it's going to be. So all I need to do is just trust him. Lean not to your understanding. Proverbs 3 and 5 says, but in all your ways, just trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, you're not going to know what will happen in between. Sometimes he will tell you. I can tell you that, well, you know, this is going to happen to your children later on. You don't even have a child yet. You know? It can tell you. God can also tell you that, you know, you're going to be great and all your brothers will bow down before you. He can tell you that in a dream. If your name is Joseph, which he did. I'm going to bring out some more elements of those lessons later on. But he told him. But he didn't tell him all the things that will happen to him. So that's the part that I call the story in between. So that's another part of this lesson that I want to bring out. Maybe I'll dwell on that some more tomorrow. But, you know, you understand God's foreknowledge. It builds your faith to know that what he said will be because he said it. But God didn't tell you everything. See, all he told you was that your brothers will bow down to you. God didn't tell you all the things that you are going to suffer and all the years and all the rejection and the pain and the, you know, the loneliness and the, you know, the troubles that you're going to suffer. Are you going to go to prison for a crime you didn't commit? How, you know, somebody you encouraged will leave you there, and on and on and on. And you'll never see your father for a long time. And your brothers will conspire against. I mean, God didn't tell him all those things. All he saw was that he's going to be great. And you're going to, you know, rule over your brethren. Well, cool. But what happens in between? We'll be talking about that more. But from point A, which is where I am, to point B, which is what God showed me or promised me. Well, how do I get there? There are many ways to skin that cat. You know, one way is what I've already described. Have confidence in God's foreknowledge that it is perfect. He didn't miss a step. Have confidence in his ability, capacity, which is infinite. I am God of all flesh. So anything I cannot do. Have confidence that he can make it come to pass, just like he said it. Because who is strong enough to stop what God said? You know, God has spoken, who will let it? Who is strong enough to prevent? Nobody really. The devil will try. Jesus said, well, he will try, but his gates, the gates of hell, cannot prevail. Not that he wouldn't try, but he will not prevail. The outcome is he will not win. But during the fight, you may have a few scratches. Jesus didn't say you won't have scratches. He just said that a devil will not win over you. Now, when you get in that fight, you know, and come out with some scratches. But at the end of the day, you will win. Because he already said that. And so, but he may not tell you what's in between. So in this lesson, we're going to examine what might be in between. But for today, let me just put it to you this way. Understand God has foreknowledge of all things and everything. And all these examples that I've spoken, how to read the end of the book, chess game, and all these things is to help us to explain that. God knows the end from the beginning. And he can mastermind any move that the devil's trying to make. Because God already saw it. And he already knows every step. God, you know, sometimes people say, oh, this person says step ahead. Well, step ahead. God is, I don't know, tens of thousands of steps ahead of the devil. Because every move, all those 10,000 moves that the devil can make, God can make one move. Checkmate him. Just like that. It's done. But he doesn't always do it that way. Because there are life experiences that God wants us to gain. Because these things that we experience, the Bible says, well, you know, the trial of your faith worketh patience. Well, what is the trial of your faith? Well, if your faith is to be based on the word of God, in order for it to be valid, when God has said it, well, when your faith is being tried, it also means that the word of the Lord is tried. Because that thing that God said, the devil is going to, if he has anything to say about it, make sure it doesn't come to pass for you. Your mind also will drift towards the devil's camp at times. You know, but when we have the proper understanding, which is what this lesson is supposed to give us, we will know that, look, it shall come to pass. Hallelujah. God the Lord said so. And God has all, you know, that, you know, I mean, he's got all the forces of heaven and earth. He can move them in any way he wants in order to make sure what he said comes to pass. Moreover, he's already seen it come to pass. You know, so let's have that knowledge. The trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, so that you may be perfect, wanting nothing. James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. One thing leads to another, one thing leads to another in the way that God wants us to grow. Because it is not just, we're not just like Adam anymore, where Adam was an instant son of God. Well, that didn't quite work out. So God is going to put us through some things now. It's like the story in chapter 18, that he went and saw the potter making clay. You know, God said, go down to the potter's house and I'll show you something. And he went and he saw the potter making pottery, which is what he does. But the thing was messed up in his hands as he was doing it. That's what the Bible says. And he was looking. So what's this man going to do about this thing? Because the Lord said, go down there and I'll show you my works. So he's looking. This man who is skilled, this is what he does. He's skilled at making pottery. But this time around, took a lump, was making something out of it, and the thing got bent out of shape. He was messed up in his hands. So let me read to you what the potter then did when the thing was messed up in his hands. Let's read it in Jeremiah, chapter 18. Now, sometimes the Lord, with these prophets, he makes them enact the word of the Lord. He wants to tell them something, but he will make them participate in the thing. And he wrought a work on the wheels. He said, I went down to potter's house, Jeremiah 18. God told him, go down there and I'll cause you to hear my words. So he went down, he said, and I saw him walking a walk, on the wheels. So he's making pottery. You know how they have those things. But the vessel that he made of clay was marred. That means messed up the hand of the potter. So what did he do? He had some options at that time. He could have thrown it away, taken another lump and started over. But he chose not to do that. He took the lump and he started over, so to speak, but with the same lump. He didn't throw it away. He said, so he made it again. Another vessel, and this time it came out right. I said, I like it. And the Lord said to him, have you seen this, oh son of man? I said, yeah. So what can I not do with you as this potter did with the clay? And so the Lord showed him the word of the Lord. So the instant son of God, got messed up. Because God already knew, because that's why the land was slain before the world even began. So this time around, God is not going to do it that way. We're going to grow in faith, and we're going to grow through many things that are going to, happen to us along the way to help us grow, so that you have experiences. This man, Adam, he was kind of protected, but God put one test there and he failed. He didn't have the experience, like God wants us to have. So let me read this to you in Romans chapter 5, starting from verse 1. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, and that's trials also, knowing that these trials work patience. Tribulation worketh patience. So this is the process that God wants us to go through. Patience worketh experience. Experience worketh hope. And hope does not make ashamed. Maketh not ashamed. So God wants us to go through all these things. Now, so he doesn't tell you everything. You are going to have to trust him along the way. And if you don't trust him, well, when you stand before him, he's going to say, well, why didn't you trust me with that? And he might just say that. And Lord showed you that to me one time. You know, so you want to trust him through every point of that journey between A, point A and point B, knowing that he's already seen point B and he will get you there. But he doesn't tell you how to get there, and he doesn't tell you the lion minds, things that might blow up in your face on the way. You know, but he said you will get there. Well, but he didn't tell you the storm was coming. All he said is, let's go up to the other side. So you know you get to the other side, or they should have known, and they will get to the other side, because that's what he said. Meanwhile, he didn't tell you the storm is coming to blow on that boat that you will panic. The storm will be so severe that it almost caused loss of life. He didn't tell you that. All he said, well, let's go to the other side. As if it is that simple. Well, as far as he's concerned, you will get to the other side. But that's what he said. Now, you will pass through some things from point A, from the shore to the other side. You know, now, as far as he's concerned, his foreknowledge has already seen you on the other side. But you have to use your faith through that process to get to what his foreknowledge already saw and declared. See, so that's the relationship. Now, and this is why I said that, you know, by our faith, you can get close. I call it approximate. You can actually approximate his foreknowledge. We'll never have his foreknowledge of all things. We don't have the mental capacity to handle it. In fact, if God showed us more than we can handle, you become a mental case. So you can't handle it. Blow your mind. People say blow your mind. Well, you will run crazy because you can't handle it. I mean, it's like all the things that God has to handle, all the pain, the people that are crying and suffering that are coming to God and has the capacity to handle it all. You know, if God shows you some of that, you will run mental. You will just run mental because you can't handle it. Your mind will just be crazy. And so, you know, God doesn't show us everything. He shows us enough for us to trust him. But you got to trust him. He said, come. When he says come, you got to trust him. So, well, if that's you, Lord, should I come? I'll say, well, come. And you got to trust him. Now, you know, when you step out of the boat, you got to step out confidently, but you got to keep your eyes on him. You got to trust him. And say, come. The word that say come will get you there. But there will be the boisterous waves and there'll be all these things around you. Well, what you going to do? Keep your eyes on the Lord. That's it. So that's our lesson for today. I'm trying to show you where God's at with his foreknowledge and where we are with our faith. I'm going to dwell more on this tomorrow by the grace of God. But remember, our faith is only a very, very minute, can only handle a very, very minute portion of his foreknowledge. So that's why he doesn't tell us everything. But if he tells you something, you can take it to, people say take it to the bank. This one you can take it to eternity because it's good forever. You can latch onto it. It's the same thing as if you found it in the Word of God. It's the same as if he told it to you. You know, that's why we say search the scriptures before you start to pray. Search the scriptures. See what he already said. Now, if he already said so, then why, my goodness, it is going to come to pass. So I put my faith in that. Now, it may not come to pass the first day, the first week, the first month, the first year, the first few years. I don't know, but it will come to pass. Praise the Lord. and you put your faith in that. See? So, if you know that with God, there is nothing that he does that can be anything put to it or anything taken from it. We read that in Ecclesiastes already. It's perfect. He already done it. And he already knows the future with him is already past. The past is present. He can bring it all together in all these dimensions. You know, God is not in the past, present, future like that. He's eternal. It's all the same to him. Now, when we start to have that realization, then with my faith, see, I've been developing my faith. I'm still developing my faith. And you should too. You develop your faith to the point where the Bible says, well, can become partakers of the divine nature. It gives us these promises, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might become partakers of the divine nature. What does that mean? Let me explain that before we close. Well, a promise is not a promise unless you know what was promised. I've said that before multiple times on this platform. So first of all, you got to know what he said. And God can promise it because he's already seen it. Now, so if he promises you health, it's because he already seen that you are healed, even when you were sick. You may be in the wheelchair today. God already said, you know, I see your bones healed. Yeah. You may have received a bill of horrible health or pronunciation of death from doctors. God already said, well, I see you healed. Okay. So, knowing that, you know, then we now use that to strengthen ourselves, you know. We know the promises that he has given. And what does that mean when he has given a promise? Well, think about it. He has given you a promise based on what he already saw. And if you understand that, then you say, ah, I rest in the fact that he will get me there. Praise the Lord. This is how the book of Peter puts it. In 2 Peter chapter 1, let's read it. I will explain that before I close. Because it is important for us to know that his promises are based on his foreknowledge. He's not going to promise something that he knows he's not going to be. So when he promises, it's what he already knows. You know, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things. He has already given, not that he will give. Given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. It's his knowledge. But we need to know more about him. He has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. God promised something only because he already seen it. You know. And by these promises, when you put your faith in them, you might become partakers of the divine nature. So your faith in his promises can actually approximate his foreknowledge, which is the divine nature. So those statements that I make at times, they are based on some of these scriptures. You know, your faith can approximate his foreknowledge. Almost become as though you had foreknowledge like him. You never will, but almost like you did. Because he has said it, you know, he didn't say it if he didn't, it wasn't like that, because he already seen it happen. So that's why he said it. So you know that. And when you put your faith like that, it's almost like you know, like he knows that it's going to happen. So that's what I mean by that. So now you're actually becoming like his divine nature. And then, well, when God reveals it to you, then you can speak it forth. just like he did. I mean, he saw something in his mind. He spoke it forth, and it came to pass. Let there be such and such. And so it was. Well, what God already shows you through the promises of God, you can now speak it out, and it shall come to pass. You speak it by faith in his word, knowing that his word is infallible. And he'll back it up 100%. And so you have the confidence. When God says you are healed, even though today you are sick, you say you are healed. Because God already sees you healed. He's seen you that you are healed. And so you say, like he said, John 16 and 13 says, Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Well, he'll show it to you from the scriptures. You know, that's one way he will show it to you. He will show you the promise. Hallelujah. That he has given you. It's still in point B. I mean, it's at point B, but you are at point A. Faith will see point B when you are in point A as if you're already in point B. That's faith. Faith closes the gap between God's foreknowledge and where you are. That's why God said to Abraham, from where you are, look. So where you are is point A. God already saw point B. When he shows it to you, your faith closes that gap. Boom. Just like that. Even though there are a lot of things that can happen between point A and point B. But by faith, you can be transported to point B. You see yourself in point B, just like God saw it and said it. Now that's our lesson for today. I'm going to tell you more about what happens that in-between story tomorrow. You are in point A. God already showed you great things in point B, but he left out some minor details. I say minor, but those are the ones that we struggle with. The things that God left out. Yeah, we struggle with that. Those are the blank pages in the book. They are being filled out as you get to each chapter, but the next chapter is still blank. So we struggle with it because we saw the end of the book, but we struggle with the contents of the chapters as we're going through. Well, don't worry about that. If you have faith, you can put some good things. You can write some good things for yourself in those chapters. So what are you going to write? You know, that's what the Lord said to Adam. What are you going to call this one? Said, well, whatever you call it, that's the way it is. Well, the Lord is saying to you today, what you going to write in the next chapter? The chapter is still blank. It looks like it's blank to you. God already saw you fill it out. I know Abraham. I know what he's going to do. God knows what you're going to do, but he wants to see it. Show me some faith, God said. Write something that cannot happen in the human realm, but only I can bring it to pass. Write it in that book. Write it in that chapter. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to challenge some people to write some things in the next chapter of your life. I'm going to talk about that some more tomorrow. God is looking for somebody that can believe the Lord, dare to believe and write something. You know, the devil said it can't be. Doctor said it cannot be. Well, you write it that it will be because you found a promise. Now do your due diligence to find a promise. And when you find a promise, write it in the next empty chapter. Yeah, God said, ha, I love it. And I said, come here. You know, he holds a conference, call some of these powerful angels to see what she just wrote. And say, yeah, we see it. Say, well, you go down there and you see to it. Praise the Lord. And you see to it and you make it happen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I thank you for all your people are listening to this today. Let faith arise, let incense in our hearts. Let it arise. That's what God is looking. God can smell your faith. Well, can you smell what he's cooking? And will he be able to smell an incense of faith from you? Praise God. Yeah, let's not give God this unbelieving stuff in our prayers. Show God some faith. You know, God loves it when people can take his word and run with it. I pray that the Lord give us understanding, knowing that you know all things ahead of time. With that knowledge, we arm ourselves for the journey ahead. And God has said, I put in your hand today a pen of fire. Huh? Glory to God. Shaboro sekande matari alaba. Zarondia makushi tanusali pakuria. I put in your hand a pen of fire. Write the next chapter. What you want from the Lord. Praise God. Yeah. The Lord is watching over it. Yeah. To do it. Don't let the devil tell you that it cannot be. God said it is. Whose word will you take? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.